You have that in your heart, the love that Christ has given you and the freedom from sin. Now, many Christians, they know how God can remove the burden of sins from their backs, but they often don't recognize that they put a new burden on their shoulders after they get saved. Sometimes we pick up things and we put them on our shoulders as if they're ours to carry. And sometimes, in fact, many times, Christians carry burdens around with them that they don't need to carry. They don't need to have these burdens. They don't need to carry these things that are not theirs to carry. And so they're weighed down. Their life is not what you would call free and lively and light because they're carrying this burden that they don't need to carry. Oftentimes, one of those burdens that we put upon ourselves is burdens connected with evangelism. And sometimes for believers, evangelism is this difficult thing. It's a hard thing. It's crazy. It's terrifying. It's hard to do. And we put burdens upon ourselves that we don't need to carry. Let me tell you about the burdens that I put on my shoulders as a young man. Junior high school, kind of had these thoughts in my head when I was that age. All right, so I had told the kids I became a believer at 5. I had grown up in the church and done all that. But right around junior high, I went on some summer camps, and all of a sudden, stuff started making sense. All the stuff that I had been taught and I was believing in was becoming like a reality, and I was seeing it. I was seeing how God was real, and it made a difference that you lived your life for him, and it made a difference that you lived a righteous life, and that people need to know the gospel, and it makes a difference if you don't. And so I was hyped about it, and I was pumped about it, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm into this. And so, hey, thank you, God, that you saved me. You gave me Jesus, and that's awesome, and I feel awesome, and I feel great, and I want to tell everybody about you. And so that's all good and well and fine. Here's the issue. The issue for me was, God, you saved me. You did all that work, and now I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do it for you as a way of me sacrificing, because that's the way I was interpreting what I was hearing, right? So Jesus dies on the cross. He does the work. And now as a way to give back to him, I'm going to work for him myself. And I'm going to do this for him. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel. And so I told my friends, we would go, like, our youth group would go to Six Flags. And I would share with my friends, hey, we're going to go to Six Flags. I'd love for you to come. It'd be an awesome trip. And I'm trying to get into the gospel. I'm trying to share the gospel. And I got a few opportunities where I got in and I was sharing the gospel. But what I was thinking was, all right, I need to do this for Jesus. And so if I'm going to share it with them, I need to share it the right way. I need to give them like the right way of thinking. I need to give them the right words, and I need to make the right arguments, and I need to make it make sense. Otherwise, they're not going to believe, because I thought it was up to me. That was a burden I had put on myself. Like, it's my responsibility to convince them of the truth. That's my job. Jesus, you saved me. Now it's my job to do my best that I could. So I had this burden on my shoulders. And let me tell you, it didn't work. I tried hard, folks. That wasn't a problem. Like, there wasn't a problem with effort. I put in effort, junior high school with my friends. And I was sharing the gospel, and I was talking to my Latter-day Saints friends, and I brought people over, and I tried to bring them to church. And I'm trying all these different arguments and all these different things, and by and large, it just didn't fly. It just didn't work. And you know what happened to me? I wore myself out. I wore myself out trying to tell people about Jesus. Because I had put on my shoulders, it's my responsibility now to come up with the right words, say it the right way, to convince them of what's true. For my final shot at solidifying evangelism and discipleship, before we go back into our series in Matthew, here's what I sense from the Lord. I sense from the Lord that he wanted me to just hammer away at one thing having to do with evangelism. And it's fear that causes worry. I think when we are afraid with evangelism, when we have fears and we put those burdens on our shoulders and that becomes worrisome, we become weighed down in evangelism, and it's hard to do when you are terrified of it. When you have worry that's connected to how am I going to share the gospel? Am I going to say it right? Am I going to do it the right way? Are they going to accept it? Are they going to come to Jesus or not? Are they going to love me afterward? Are they going to hate me? When you have all those worries, that's like this huge burden on the back of your shoulders. And you are not very likely to go share the gospel. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to hammer today away at some common worries that people have associated with evangelism. Because I want you to be free to share the gospel. I want you to feel free to go out and share the best news that you have. The news that saved you, that gave you eternal life. So we're going to hammer away at that today. How do we get rid of worry that's there? Now, before I dive into some specific worries that we have and how we solve those, let me lay some foundation for you, right? This is probably going to be, you know this, you're already aware of it, it's not going to be new information, but I'm telling you, this piece of information often gets lost when we start to try to evangelize. It just goes out one ear somehow, we just lose sight of this fact. So let's start here. If you got your Bibles, Acts 1:8. I also have printouts on the back table. I have all the Bible verses that I'm going to be going through. We got a full page of them. And so if you don't have one, or if you'd like one, Joel, if you don't mind passing those out, anyone that didn't pick one up, you want one, raise your hand, please. Thank you, Joel. So in Acts 1, the action is just getting going. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been risen from the dead. And now he is about to ascend up in heaven. And so before he goes, he says this to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Witnesses of what? What are they witnessing to? Well, at the end of Luke, which is really volume 1 to Acts, which is volume 2. So right before this, if you're going chronologically through the story, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection. And after talking about his death, his resurrection, repentance for the forgiveness of sins being proclaimed to all nations, Jesus says this. In verse 48, you are my witnesses of these things. In other words, our job is to bear witness to the gospel mission, with the core being Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that opened up the door for repentance from sins, salvation, and eternal life. That is what they were supposed to be witnesses of: death, burial, resurrection. The openness of repentance of sins that gives us eternal life. They were to witness that. Bear witness that. Being a witness is not something the church does. Being a witness is everything that the church does. That's all we do. Everything that we do as a church and all the other churches around the world, all that we're supposed to do is bear witness to who Jesus is and the gospel. That is our job. Israel was rejected because they failed to evangelize the Gentiles. And in Revelation 2, Jesus threatens to remove the church in Ephesus for losing their first love. Okay? There are times when God takes his people, his people that he's put in place, and he removes them from their authoritative place if they're not doing what they ought to do. And folks, if our first love, what he's talking to the church in Ephesus there, he says, you've lost your first love. If we've lost our love for evangelism, we've lost the heart of Christ. We're drifting somewhere that we need to get back to. We're off course. We need to get back on track. We have to have that be the core of who we are, bearing witness of the gospel. Any church that doesn't share Christ's heart doesn't love him well. And I would hate to see our church not love Christ well. So if we want to love him well, it's evangelism. Getting the gospel out. Okay, so worry sometimes gets in our way. It becomes this baggage upon us, this burden. So let's start with some low-hanging fruit. What are some ways that we can counteract some of those ways in which we worry about evangelism? I'm going to give you five things today, reasons why you should not worry about sharing the gospel. Reason number one, Jesus said not to worry about anything, and that, folks, it includes evangelism. We tackle this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. He has this huge section talking about it. And we aren't to worry because God provides what we need, and that is true of evangelism. So, right out the gate, early one, we're not supposed to worry about anything. It's just a command. Evangelism is a part of that. So that's number one. Number two, another easy one. It's easier to share the gospel than we think. This is what we talked about last time, right? Last time we talked about sometimes people put the burden of, I have to get to the center, and if I don't get to the center of the death, burial, resurrection, if I don't get to that, I don't get to share the gospel. And we talked about, look, the gospel includes everything, all the different cogs and pieces of God moving towards restoring his relationship and his reign over creation. His relationship with us and reign over creation. So there's a lot that's in the gospel. And so there's lots of ways that you can get into that conversation and move. You definitely want to move towards the center, the cross and resurrection, all of that. But there's a lot that's there. And so it's a lot easier than you think. So don't worry that, oh man, it's so difficult. Please come talk to me if you're worried about, man, I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to get into the gospel. I would love to alleviate that for you. Okay, so those are some two quick ones that we've already covered. Easy stuff. Now let's dive into some other ones. Reason number three, you don't need to worry about sharing the gospel. It's not your job to save the unbeliever. It is not your job to save the unbeliever. I wish 17-year-old Nigel had been taught that. Because I really thought it was my responsibility. And it gave me a headache, and it gave me worry, and it gave me, man, if they don't accept the gospel, like, I messed up, and I'm doing this wrong, and maybe that's you. It's not your job. Let me prove it. Man, one of Satan's tactics that he would love to utilize is to put the weight of other people going to hell upon your shoulders. Oh, he would love that. He would love that if you felt responsible if someone else went to hell. Because guess what? That's a burden that's going to wear you down. So that's what he wants you to think. He wants you to feel that responsibility. But it's not. And let me tell you why. To set that up, here's a story. I used to play basketball up at the rec centers in Irving. I played basketball before. I played in junior high. I stopped growing in like seventh grade, so I was tall in junior high, and then everybody kept growing, so I stopped playing basketball. I did other things because it didn't work well. Being short and short arms and Caucasian doesn't lend well to very good basketball. I'm an all right good player. I enjoy playing. But when I was in Irving, man, these guys were legit. These guys were legit basketball players. Like, I'm over here shooting for my warm-ups. These guys are throwing alley-oops to each other and doing windmill dunks and stuff like that. It was a rough crowd, rough area, but it was fun to go play, except for this one day. One day I'm there, and I'm sitting on the sidelines waiting to come into a game, and there's a tough game going on. They're playing tough, and this one dude just starts laughing at this other guy, like, because he messed up. He's like, he turns this way, and when he turned this way, the other dude just goes, whoop-a! Straight out right here, knocked him out. This guy's laying on the ground, like, and his body's like this. He's out. And a few minutes later, he comes back, and he's like, what happened? Well, his friends, They were like taking their shirt off and like, all right, man, let's go, let's go. And the one guy was like, let's rock, you want to rock? And everyone's like trying to hold them back. And they're like about to fight, right? They're about to go. And then they said, let's take it outside, the whole thing, right? Let's take it outside. I don't know why you can't fight right there if you're going to fight. But they said, all right, let's go outside. Yeah, let's go outside, man, let's go. So they went outside and I stayed inside. Because I'm like, I'm a youth pastor. And I'm a normal person. I don't need to get into this. I wasn't a part of the game. These guys want to fight, whatever. I don't know how this is going to go. So I'm going to stay right here. Well, turns out they went outside and they talked some more and then they all went home and nothing happened. But the rec center worker came in later and he was like, man, hey, what happened? What was going on there? How did that get all crazy? In that moment, I felt several things, right? I felt the tension, like it was just a tense moment. You see someone punch somebody else, guy goes out and he comes back and there's friends and you don't know if anyone's got a knife, you know? So I felt tense. I felt like, hey, I want to help this guy out, but I don't want to say too much because I don't want to get in trouble with any of these guys that want to fight me then, you know? So I'm feeling a lot of stuff. But you know what I wasn't feeling? I didn't feel any responsibility. And I didn't feel any guilt. I didn't feel any of that. Why? Because I was a witness. I was just a witness. I just saw it. I wasn't responsible. I didn't fight anybody. I didn't get punched. I didn't punch anybody. Right? So if you're a witness, you get called up onto the stand in a trial. What are you? You are a witness. You are bearing witness of what happened. You have a responsibility to tell the truth. You have a responsibility to bear witness of what happened from your perspective, but you're not responsible for the crime that happened, right? Because you just saw it. You weren't a participant. Here's the point. Let's go back to Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses to all the world." We just have to bear witness and tell the truth of what Jesus has done. We're not the ones that are saving anybody. We're just bearing witness of that. And so you don't have to feel that responsibility of what they do with the gospel, what God does with the gospel. That's not your job. That's not your responsibility. It happened to you. You witnessed it. You felt it. You've seen what Jesus has done, but it's not your responsibility, so you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to skip that part. Folks, faith blooms when the sinner's spirit embraces the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. When the sinner's spirit embraces the outstretched arms of the Holy Spirit. The evangelist just sets up the meeting. If you can catch that idea, you've gone a long way. Okay? Salvation happens. Faith happens when the sinner's spirit embraces the Holy Spirit. The evangelist just sets up the meeting. When you bear witness of the gospel, you're just letting them come together and then they figure it out themselves. That's all you have to do. Now, if we say that, does that mean we do nothing? Does that mean that we don't have any responsibility? Aren't we supposed to take the gospel serious? If we're not part of any of the causal chain of faith, then why would we share the gospel anyway? Why would we do that? Well, look, people bear witness about what they value. When you value something, you want to tell somebody. We just had a puppy, and I've been telling everybody about it. I'm excited. I like the puppy most of the time. I tell people for two reasons. Number one, I'm excited. I like the puppy. I want to tell other people about the puppy. Number two, I want people to feel bad for me because now I got this puppy that wants to whine all night. And you've had a puppy and you know what it's like and you can empathize with where I am, and you can make me feel better, right? Like, it's not going to last forever. The puppy's going to grow up. It's not going to go bathroom in the house and eat it. You know, it's not going to happen all the time, right? I need to hear that, right? So I'm telling you about these things, right? When you care about something, you tell everybody. This guy that we got the puppy from, you know what I know about him? He's got a red Cobra Mustang sports car. Want to know how I know that? Because he was really happy to tell me about it. He wanted me to know. We're there and we're trying to debate, do we get this puppy, do we not, which one? Well, we got two girls here that are like, puppy, puppy, puppy. And we're like, are we doing this? Are we not doing this? Well, we're there for a while. And some other guy drives by in an older Mustang. And he goes, man, I like that car. And from right there, what does he go? He gets out his phone. And within like 3 seconds, he's got this picture of his car. He's ready to share with me. He's ready to go because he cares about his car and he wants me to know about it. So he's telling me all about it. I know that he got this car and it was like our birthday and our Christmas and our graduation gift for like 5 years from his mom. And he told me all sorts of stuff about this car. Why? Because he loves his car. He was ready to go. He's like, hey, oh, Mustang. Oh, let me tell him about my car. He was ready. He was ready with it because he loved it. And he wanted to share with me. If you love something, you bear witness to other people about it. If you love the gospel, if you love it, you can't wait to bear witness of it. I'm a sports fan. If I see something fun that's awesome that one of my team did, I want to tell my brother about it. I want to talk to him about it. Man, that was awesome. Did you see that? Did you see how that went? That's the way I operate with sports because I love it. Likewise, we ought to love the gospel. And if we love it, we'll bear witness to it. And if we're just bearing witness, we're not responsible for if the other person gets saved or not. So don't have that burden. Don't worry about that. Whether they come to the Lord or not, it's not your business. That's up to them. All right, reason number 4, why we don't need to worry about evangelism. We're not the only witnesses. You are not the only witness. You're not in this alone. You're not standing there by yourself. Like, it's isolating, right? Sometimes if you're responsible for something and it's just you, that's terrifying. Here's the truth. You're not the only witness. Every single time you share the gospel, you are not alone. Even if it's just you and a like whole host of pagans, right? And you're the only one there, you're not the only one. You're not the only witness. We have witnesses of the past through the prophets and the scriptures. It says that directly in Hebrews chapter 12. So in chapter 11 in Hebrews, the author spells out this hall of faith of all these different people from the Old Testament that had faith. And then he begins chapter 12 with this, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The saints of the past recorded in Scripture, this great cloud of witnesses, still testify of God's mission throughout history. They're still testifying of that. Not only the saints of old, not only are they testifying, but the Scriptures themselves testify of the gospel as well. We see this directly from Jesus' mouth. John chapter 5, verse 39. He's talking to the Jews and he's saying, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these, the scriptures, that testify about me. So we've got a long history of saints that have testified to the truth. We have the scriptures that testify of the gospel. We have other believers that bear witness to the gospel. As a church, we're all bearing witness of the gospel. A couple of weeks, Chloe got up here and she got baptized, declaring that the gospel impacted her. She bore witness that the gospel had worked in her life. I just went to a conference over a week ago, and there I was with other pastors that are all over Texas and Oklahoma. And those guys and their churches, they're bearing witness. We're not alone. There are others along with us. So if you're keeping track at home, that's 3 other witnesses beside yourself. The saints of old, the scriptures, and other believers today. Now let's add the big kahuna. Here's the big kahuna witness that's with us. The Holy Spirit accompanies us when we preach. And in fact, he is the one doing the heavy lifting. Whenever you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit is there and he is doing the heavy lifting for us. The main hurdle for an unbeliever when they are presented the gospel is their flesh, their sinful desire to resist the gospel. You know what deals with that? Conviction of sin and guilt. You know who gives that? Not you, the Holy Spirit. That's not your job. You don't have to give conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We see this in John 16, verse 8. And he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Man, that's the hardest part. If you can get a sinner to be convicted of their sins, it's smooth sailing. But if you can't, if they don't feel that conviction, man, you're not going nowhere. Well, guess what? That's not your job. So you don't have to worry about that. He's doing that for you. You can't reach their soul, but the Spirit can. 1 Corinthians 2:10, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Hey, if he's able to search the depths of God, he's able to search the hearts of that sinner that you're talking to. The unbeliever that is hard-hearted, he can reach down there and he can bring the conviction that we need. He's doing the heavy lifting. But you know what? The Spirit also bears witness. You're not the only witness. Listen, Peter says it directly in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things. So we know that. We're bearing witness the way he called us to. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Boom, there it is. Every time you share the gospel, you are not alone. You may be doing it with other believers. You may be able to go back and bring up the story of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Esther or Ruth. You can bring up those. You can go to the scriptures and they will bear witness. You can bring a friend along with you. But you know what? Even if you don't have any of that, you still have the Holy Spirit. So you're not the only witness. And in fact, you're not even doing the hard, heavy lifting. So don't worry. You're not alone and you're not responsible for what they do with it. And so that brings us to reason five why we need not worry. The Spirit directs what we say. Reason five we don't need to worry is the Spirit directs what we say. Paul, perhaps the greatest preacher of the gospel, responsible for like half of the New Testament books, said this of his preaching. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen to how he talks about his preaching. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Man, that's exactly what I thought I was supposed to do. I need to come with persuasive thoughts. I need to come with all these good arguments and this good defense. I need to do that. That's what I thought. Well, Paul, he disagrees with me. He's like, no, you don't need that. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my, get this, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The point of preaching the gospel is to point the hearers in faith to God, not the preacher. The point of preaching is to bring people to see the Spirit and his power. That's it. You don't need to be persuasive. You don't need to have all these amazing arguments. You don't need to be this philosophical genius. You bear witness. Say the truth. Point people to God and his power. Now, what does that mean? That your preaching is of the Spirit and of power. You're demonstrating the Spirit and power. What on earth does that mean? How does that look practically? Well, thankfully, Jesus gives us the answer, both in his teaching and in his example. Jesus said this about his words. His words came from the Father through the Spirit, John 14:10. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his work. How does the Father do his work? Through the Spirit. We see that throughout the scriptures. And so Jesus' own words were from the Spirit. And then in the same chapter, Jesus tells the disciples that he must go away in order to send the Spirit and says this in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus promised that the Spirit would teach us all things, meaning all that we need in order to tell the story of the gospel accurately and well, the Spirit will give you. Did you catch that? The Spirit will teach you everything you need to share the gospel well. Plain and simple. So you didn't need to conjure it up yourself. You don't need to be like I was back in the day, trying to figure it out and wrestle and what's the right way to share it? And if I have the right words, it's going to work. No, it's not that at all. He says, I'm going to teach you exactly what you need. And Jesus made this really, really clear the first time that he sends out the disciples in Matthew. So in Matthew chapter 10, we're going to get there in our series, and it's an awesome passage. But before then, Jesus has been doing all the work. He's been doing the miracles. He's been doing the teaching. He's taking care of all of it. And this is the first time the disciples are going to go out, and he gives them the authority to cast out demons and do miracles and preach the gospel and do all this stuff. This is what he says to them. Matthew 10, 16 through 20. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Here's where it gets awesome. But when they hand you over, do not worry. There's that worry. See it? Do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Checkmate. You don't need to worry. The Spirit will tell you, will give you everything to say. You don't have to figure it out. That's easy, right? Like if you have a test and they're giving you the answers as you're going, I'm not worried about that test. I think I'm going to be fine. I think I'll pass, right? That's what the sharing the gospel is. You don't have to worry about what to say, how to say it. Oh man, I got this unbeliever and he just doesn't like anybody and he definitely doesn't like the Lord. No, what am I going to say? It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Just get in the situation. Listen to the Spirit. He's saying he will give you the words to say. Now, you may be like, all right, I don't know if I buy that. Well, let me give you a story. This is a personal story. So I'm 16. I'm in the middle of this thinking, oh, I got to do it right. I got to do it exactly the way I want or the way that I think and I got to share the gospel this right way. And so I go to Latvia on a mission trip with my youth group. And we do these youth camps kind of like you would do in the States. So it's awesome. It's great. This is my first mission experience. I'm blown away by the whole thing. And so at this camp, they have the main sessions and then we have small group time. And I was leading a small group of like 13, 14-year-olds. And so the main sessions were on, number one, your relationship with your friends, your family, relationship with the other opposite sex, and then your relationship with God. And so we'd have these, and then we'd go into small groups, and I'd have a translator, and I'm talking to the small groups. And so the first two go awesome. They go great. All these kids are listening. They're engaged. We're asking questions, and we're having a good time. It's going well. Third session comes. These kids shut down, like go into bailout mode. They're playing in the grass. They're not listening. I'm losing my mind here. I don't understand what's going on. I have no idea why they're checking out. But I'm panicking, right? Because the next session is the gospel section. The whole thing has been leading up to your relationship with God and sharing the gospel. And so I'm worried about these kids, and I'm worried about, like, what am I doing wrong? And I don't know why they're not listening anymore. And I'm terrified of this, right? Because I really want, I care about the gospel. I care about them catching it. And so I'm racking my brain, and I'm talking to my friends, and I'm talking to the leaders. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Now, later on, we found out that at that time, Latvians, they started dating kind of like at 18 years old. So talking about relationship with the opposite sex for 13, 14 year olds was like super awkward for them. So they were just like feeling super awkward. I didn't know that though. So they're like playing in the grass and like, why are we talking about this? Are we allowed to be talking about this? Can we get out of here? How do we get out of here? Right? That's the way they were. I didn't know that though. So I'm talking to my friends like, pray for me, man, because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. I'm praying to God. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say. What should I do? And I finally got to the place where I said, all right, look, God, I'm done. If you want to say something to these kids, if you want me to say something, you have to tell me what to say because I got nothing. I don't know what's happening. They're not listening. I've got nothing. And I just got to that place where I was just beat and I had nothing to give. And so I said, if you want me to say something, you gotta say it. Cause I don't know what's happening. So next day comes and we're sitting, it was in a school. And so we're in the hallway of the school. And excuse me, I'm sitting on a chair, and the kids are in a semicircle around me. And so the small group session starts and I start talking. Translator translates and I talk and translator translates. This goes on for 45 minutes. Folks, when I got done, I didn't remember a thing I said. I don't remember a thing I said. I remember there was an analogy about a bus, but that's it. Every single one of the kids came to the Lord or rededicated their life. Here's what's weird, okay? Really weird. So if I'm sitting like, against the wall like this, while it's happening, I felt like I was here in the wall. That's where I felt like I was. I was awake, I was aware, I was conscious, but I was watching myself talk. I was watching my body speak with my voice, but I wasn't directing what was happening. I wasn't directing what was being said. Crazy, crazy experience. God literally came and spoke. I don't remember any details of it, but I remember things coming up from like an analogy that a pastor had said when I was like 11 years old that I hadn't remembered at all. All of a sudden, he was bringing that up, and I'm watching kids respond to it. Unbelievable. The Spirit can take over, and he can say whatever he wants to, and he can literally do that to you. Now, I've had that happen one time. One time. Have I asked for it again? Oh, yeah. Because it was great. It was awesome. It was like, this is amazing. I would love for it to happen again. But it's only happened one time. So I'm not setting that expectation like that has to happen. It has to be that way. I'm just letting you know that it up to that, it can happen that way. So the Spirit can and does give you the words to say. So our five reasons for why you don't need to worry. Number one, we're commanded not to worry. Number two, sharing the gospel as a story is a lot simpler than we often make it. Number three, we don't have to save the unbeliever. Number four, we're not the only witnesses. And number five, the Spirit will give us what to say when the time comes. My hope today is that this has alleviated some of your worries and some of your fears, and I hope that you feel free to go and listen to the gospel, listen to the Spirit when and where and how he wants you to share the gospel. I hope those burdens are off your back, and I hope you feel free to share the gospel. Now, here's the kicker, though, okay? If you know these, you agree with these, you got it, you're like, yeah, I got those, I'm good. But a couple weeks go by and you find you're still not sharing the gospel, You need to really do some evaluation then. Why wouldn't you share what you love so dearly? If you love the gospel, why aren't you bearing witness of it whenever and however you can? Because let me tell you, it's not because the Spirit doesn't want you to. That's all that the Spirit wants you to do. And that's what he cares about most. So let's make sure that we love the gospel the way that we ought to love the gospel. The way the gospel deserves to be loved. If a guy can share off his phone in a matter of seconds his red sports car, I think we can whip out our phones to share the gospel because we care about it. And my trust and my hope and what I believe is that we do. And I'm looking forward to hearing more and more from Willie about all you people that have told her, hey, I shared the gospel and this is how it went and this is where it's going. Folks, we're not alone. We're not the only witnesses. So we need to encourage one another by sharing the gospel. And that's important. So please share with Willie whenever you do. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you that you've given us the gospel, and we thank you, Lord, that you've saved us and that we get the opportunity to bear witness of what you've done. God, I pray that you'd inflame our hearts for your word and for what you have done, and that we would care about those that are lost and need to hear the gospel. God, open our eyes to see the opportunities and open our eyes to see how much these people need you. I pray, Lord, that you would allow us those opportunities. And may you save souls to add to your kingdom for your glory's sake. Amen.